Hey, Wicker.
Marguerite.
Get that copy finished. The newspapers and the U.S. Air Force wait for no one. Alan, the Tokyo run is leaving. 60 seconds. Don't miss it.
Done. Another ordinary day on the Korean Peninsula.
Where else would we be, Alan? We go where the stories are.
They keep on fighting and we keep on writing.
That's a nice turn of phrase. Keep it up, you could go far.
It's a nice thought. Maybe then I could get out of this steaming jungle.
Alan, how in the hell did you end up in this insect-infested, rain-drenched, mud-kicking place anyways?
Oh, the usual. A childhood dream of travelling the world and writing. That, and as a bachelor, Ex-Tel consider me expendable. No one will bat an eyelid if I happen to stop a bullet out here. Oh, and I'll work on birthdays and all major holidays. Classic case of be careful what you wish for. How about you?
The usual American dream. Glory, ambition, and a Pulitzer Prize.
Pulitzer? Let's go to the press hut and drink to your naked ambition.
Whiskey.
I've been lugging this priceless liquid around for weeks.
I'm honored.
I hear you're ruffling a few feathers on the way to that point.
I've no choice about the way I work.
How so?
Oh, for God's sake, Alan. Do you see any other women here apart from me?
You have a point. It is decidedly one-sided and distinctly drab.
The only way I can move forward is to get up earlier than everyone else, run faster and further than everyone else, take more risks and work longer and later than everyone else. That is my only chance of success in this business. And if I step on some men's toes and get my elbows out, so be it, whether any man likes it or not. Have I upset your masculine sensibility?
No, definitely not. In fact, Marguerite, I think that's the best recipe for success I've ever heard.
It is?
It is.
Listen up. 700 gooks are heading this way down the Kumpo Peninsula. There's no Marines in combat units on airfield defense right now. Cooks and ground crew only. We'll try to hold them off. If you've got weapons, I'd advise you to have them ready. Good luck to us all.
I left Korea unkilled, uninjured, and on pressing, and continued to report under other writers' bylines for the next 8 years from around the world. Then, back in London, I was drawn into the world of radio, where, with the latest portable sound recorder, I was sent out to interview the ordinary man for the Going Places, Meeting People radio show. Occasionally, I would get back to rest in the oasis of my small but pleasant bachelor pad. Hello?
Alan, it's Donald Baverstock.
Donald? How goes the wonderful world of television?
Good, good. You know, Alistair and I thought of you, Alan. We think you need a change. Are you free tomorrow? You would be if you have any sense. So drop everything else in your life and get yourself down here in the morning. Excellent. Bye then.
The next day, I found myself squashed into the back of a BBC van with a director, a cameraman, and sound. Part of a mobile BBC film unit heading out to the Near East. Ramsgate. Not exactly exotic, with the bomb-damaged houses of the Kent seafront. My first to-camera piece.
Okay, Alan. Ready?
Ready.
Turn over sound.
Sound rolling.
Turn over camera.
Speed.
Action.
Today, I'm here in Margate to meet Mrs. Evelyn Stone of 45 Grove Road, one of the many seaside landladies along the Kent coast. Well, Anthony.
Now, Alan, this is my theory. My opinion. You've no need to worry at all. You're a natural. So let's get these Russians back, eh? Put it all together. Then Donald and Alistair can take a look. It will, of course, after all, be their decision.
The truth is, I was absolutely delighted. This was a new direction that felt exactly right. It was something I believed I could do. And happily, it led to further assignments with the Tonight Show.
There can be no doubt. 15 seconds left on film. Not only were the Russians driving the Germans west.
Stand by for countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Camera 2, track in on caption 3 and lock off. Cue Cliff.
A week or two ago, we showed you a short impressionistic film story directed by John Schlesinger.
Cue caption and.
Ever since.
And 2, you're off the caption. Stand by mid shot on 2 on Cy Grant.
We make no apologies for doing so, because in its own way, it is a minor classic.
And run, Telecine.
Haven't seen it.
On film for 3 minutes.
Stand by camera 1 on Cliff and camera 2 on Cy Grant. Have we got Wicker's report queued up yet?
Still in edit.
Bloody hell, get down there and light a fire under their bottoms.
Alan, Mike, now!
What the?
Telecine, to Telecine. Run, Mike, run! Ridley Donald!
I have never seen such a bird's nest of film. Poor Mike, you ought to have seen his face.
Stop it, you two!
Well, sorry, girl, but I do love a pratfall.
Oh, and Alan, why do you have to leave everything to the last minute?
Yes, Alan, why?
If you didn't always call me out at the 11th hour.
Oh, you love it. Nothing like working under pressure. Keeps your mind focused. Keeps you on your toes.
Well, I would rather it wasn't so last second.
That's the buzz we get from this job. A live programme every night of the week, pulling it all together each day. It's fabulous, I say. Here's to bird's nests, last-minute rushes, and live programming. Cheers!
Cheers! Oh, look, it's Grace. You know she got me my job on The Tonight Show. Oh, she's coming over.
Hello, Grace. Good to see you.
Donald, I watched the show. I've some notes for you. Cynthia?
Hello, Grace.
Grace?
Ah, the roving reporter. How are you enjoying being watched by millions?
I try not to dwell too much on that.
It's a privileged position to be in the living rooms of the British public.
Absolutely. And they're generous to allow me in. But I'm always polite and I never leave a mess behind.
Very droll.
Alan is a devoted Tonight Man. Practically have to lock him out of the place.
Watch your back, Donald. He'll be after your job.
Not at all. I'm exactly where I want to be. I enjoy people. In fact, I am the only person I know who truly delights in other people's holiday snaps.
Grace, how about we go through those notes of yours?
I don't think Grace warmed me.
Warmth isn't what she's about, Alan.
Well, yeah, she's a very smart woman. But there'll be no certainty in my job while she's around. I happen to see an internal memorandum from Leonard. The head of television talks won't be offering on-camera staff permanent contracts.
How did you come across that memo, Alan?
Well, by chance, I assure you. But that's not the important bit. What is that when our usefulness is over, we can easily be, as he puts it, dispensed with.
Donald, I'm the defences that protect the BBC budget. I'm here to save you from yourself and the budget from you.
Ha! Leonard, there you see. I've drawn you into my devious trap. Alan will be travelling with just a 2-man crew.
Is that feasible?
Absolutely. The equipment we have is so much smaller and lighter than it was, and we've planned it meticulously. Alan will be able to produce 5, 6, 7 reports from each country. We're talking Singapore, Hong Kong, Japan...
All these countries. all that expense.
No. You see, from each location, Alan will send the film, sound, editing instructions back to us. He records his wild track commentary and that's sent back to use in the edit. They, in turn, pick up the fresh film stock, travel documents, research material that we send to them. There's no return to London each time. They simply move on to the next location. None of that ridiculous time-wasting and expensive flying back and forth, back and forth.
I'm not sure. This hasn't been done before.
No! Bloody marvellous idea, don't you think? We're fortunate to have Alan. He knows how to navigate his way around the world. We've got Cyril Moorhead on camera and Freddie Downton on sound. Both very experienced. Both know what they're doing. Leonard? Is that a glint in your eye? A chink in your armour? Think of it. The Tonight Show takes our viewers not to Scunthorpe or to Reading, but to the other side of the world.
Mr. Wicker, I always see you reading, writing, or typing. Perhaps a drink and after a rest?
No to the rest. Yes to the drink. Thank you.
Prepare for arrival.
Freddy.
Alan.
Not long till we land in Singapore.
Oh, hallelujah.
Did you get any rest?
Barely. Ah, Sleeping Beauty awakes.
Oh, morning, Alan. Freddy, did I miss something?
4 days of flying and the Northern Hemisphere, you lucky bastard.
Freddy, I'll see you chaps on terra firma.
Oh, wait a minute, Alan. It's your birthday today, isn't it?
How in the world did you know that?
Cynthia.
Of course.
I've got something for you from her. It's here somewhere. Here it is. Cynthia says, good luck.
Well, what is it?
It's typewriter ribbons. Lots of them.
Perhaps a little celebration when we arrive.
There's no time for that. Birthday's going to have to be put on hold. Truth is, we've got too much to do in too little time. We're going to have to hit the ground running.
Passport. Welcome to Singapore.
Whoa, easy, Tiger.
2 hours for customs. That's not too bad.
You should have seen the paperwork, Alan. Dare I say, even worse than the BBC.
Well, that bad, was it? But well done. We have a little time in hand. Now. Next stop, hotel. A quick wash, change, and change. Okay, chaps. Clean, tidy, and presentable.
Yeah, just loading the spare mag. Nearly there.
Freddy. Now he chooses to sleep. Freddy! Wake up. Freddy, we're on the move.
Yes.
Done.
I'll go call them.
Ready, chop chop. Taxi's waiting downstairs.
Coming! Oh, blimey!
What are you doing?
I think I've lost control of my limbs. My legs have gone to jelly. Lack of sleep, Cyril. Lack of sleep.
The lift is here! BBC. Alan Wick. I'm here to interview Chief Minister Mr. Lim Yu. How's the light levels?
The light level? Oh, it's unbelievable. I've stopped down to 11. It's fantastic. The image should be super crisp in this light.
Fred, set?
One moment. Yes. Nearly there. Right, ready, Alan.
Okay. We'll go for a take then. Chief Minister, we're going to start the interview. Happy? Roll 7.
Sound running.
Camera rolling. Speed.
Hello. I'm here at Assembly House to speak to Chief Minister Lim Yu Hop.
Camera rolling. Speed.
Sound running.
Hello. Today I'm meeting the Mayor of Singapore, Mr. Ong Eng Huang. And cut.
Yes?
Hello, Alan. Cyril and I are heading down to the bar and... Wait a minute. How many sets of clothes have you got there?
7.
All identical. A man of singular taste.
Continuity. Continuity. If we have to spend a week in the jungle, I will always look clean and presentable. I don't hold with these TV people who appear in dirty mufflers, rumpled shirt. Who wants to see that?
No, Alan. No one. Are we spending a week in the jungle?
Well, who knows, Freddy? Who knows? This is all new for us. I am thinking on my feet and making this all up as I go along.
Cheers!
Cheers!
Perfect. Ice cold beer. Oh, yes, that's the good stuff.
First day under our belt. 2 interviews. Not too bad, eh, Alan?
Well, don't get too carried away with our start, Cyril. 5 days to do 7 stories, plus mutes and ambience. I'm happy, but I felt today's interviews were, well, should we say, a bit on the dull side. But chaps, with these next reports, I want them to feel less conventional. We need a different shooting style. We've got to keep the camera lively, more energetic. How about going handheld, Cyril? How would you feel about that?
Definitely. I'm very happy to give it a go. This new Arri is so light. I'll use a smaller magazine. We'll be down on shooting time, but I'll always have a spare mag ready. It won't take me long to swap them over.
Good. Good. I'm looking forward to it. Got a feeling it's going to be much more exciting and dynamic tomorrow.
Oh, that beer has gone straight to my head. Oh, my God. Bedtime for me.
Finish your food, Freddy. It'll give you strength for tomorrow.
Well, I'll have a big breakfast. I'm a goner. Still a bit wobbly on the pins. I do hope tomorrow is not too dynamic.
This is the Street of Death in Singapore's Chinatown. This is where the Chinese come to prepare for death, to die, to be mourned, and finally to be driven away for burial in gaily painted lorries. But death to the Chinese is not a time for silence and hushed reverence. It's a time for almost cheerful... No. Cut. Can we cut?
Alan?
I'm not happy with that. Right, let's take it from the top again. I'm going to get this down. We're just 10 minutes before our interview inside. Okay? Once more. Sound?
Ready.
Camera speed.
This is the House of Death, I understand. What are these old people doing?
They're waiting to die, I guess.
But why are they not... why are they not in their homes?
Most of these old people come from very crowded homes. And you know Chinese are very superstitious about death, and they won't like people dying in their homes.
Now, there's a lot of music and noise in the street here. What is it?
It's a funeral.
So these old people lie here, listening day after day to funerals?
Yes. Some of them have been here for years.
Waiting for death?
Yes. I was told one of them has been here for 10 years.
Thank you. Okay, Freddy, Cyril, we need to get some mutes in here. There, that family burning incense. Let's get some shots of close-ups, medium shots. You know the drills.
Will do.
Let's keep it handheld, Cyril. How's the shoulder?
I'm fine, Alan. I'll let you know if it's too much.
Good man. Good man. And Freddy, lots of atmosphere. Any other interesting sound you notice, okay?
Sure.
You all right, Freddy? Looking rather pale.
It's my bony Scottish pallor.
Good. Don't want to have to employ any wailers for you, Freddy.
Oh, no, dear God. No wailing, please. I want the lone piper.
We'll keep your request in mind if it comes to that, Freddy. I'm going to go outside, see what's happening on the streets, what we can film there. Meet me out there when you're done.
All those people lying there dying... felt a bit rotten filming those mourners. There was that one lady. She was so distressed. I don't know.
Doesn't bear thinking about, Freddy.
It was a bit grim.
Hmm.
You know, me and my dad had to put my mum into a home just before we left.
Surely nothing like what we witnessed today.
No, that was for sure. But really, apart from the chaos and the noise and the public nature of it, underneath it all, isn't it just the same? Shoving my mum out of sight, out of mind.
Freddy, you're tired. You need rest.
And sad old people, waiting to die.
Oh, Freddy. Didn't you notice Alan today? How he got flustered?
Alan?
Alan doesn't make mistakes like that. Alan lost his father when he was a kid, you know. What did he witness in the war? Look, the death house got to him too, but he kept himself together, right? He left that stuff at the door.
Yes.
Oh, here he comes now.
Okay, chaps, bill's paid. Now, that was a much better day. Much more of what I was hoping for. That'll have the viewers glued to their television screens. Tomorrow we have a full day and more. Let's go up.
Last call for flight KLM 714 to Hong Kong.
Alan!
My God, you're cutting it close, Cyril.
Oh, customs. Where's Freddy?
On board. Everything all right?
Film and sound are on their way. I picked up some new film stock, and there's a package for you.
Oh, excellent. My research documents. They'll keep me busy on the flight.
I'm a bit nervous sending the rushes back by plane.
That's in the lap of the gods. Time to think about the next leg now. Hong Kong next stop.
Meanwhile, we will be happy to serve you with drinks and cigarettes, which will be available in 10 minutes.
Hello there, Freddy.
Alan?
I was hoping I might find you sleeping.
I'm still practicing that skill.
Prepare for arrival.
Not to worry, Freddy. Sleep is going to be the last thing on your minds. We're about to land in Hong Kong.
You're worrying me, Alan.
Landing at Hong Kong? It's not for the faint-hearted. We have to fly between two mountaintops, and it's a bit of a tight fit. In fact, it's a lot of a tight fit. So just you be prepared. There's no other landing like this in the world. In fact, I'd better get back to my seat.
Alan! Alan! Oh. Oh. This is how it's meant to be. Oh. Are we meant to be that close? Oh, dear God!
You're doing very well, Freddy.
Donald Braverstock?
The rushes have arrived from Alan.
Great news, girl, great news. Get them to the labs quickly.
Already done.
Okay. Let Jack Gold know and tell him to clear his editing room and schedule for them.
He knows.
You're a marvel. Have you let Alistair know yet?
I thought you'd like to do that.
Thanks.
Good, quick, let's go for a take, boys. Turn up.
Sound's running.
Camera rolling. Speed.
Hello. One of the more frightening things that can happen to a man in the Far East is to land at Hong Kong Airport. The runways of the current airport are crouched up against the side of the mountains, and to come in, the plane flies down a ravine with its wingtips almost touching the mountaintops, and altogether, it's a very alarming experience. When we arrived the other day, the captain of the plane came back into the cabin, and I confessed the last few miles of the flight to Hong Kong, I always shut my eyes. And the captain said, as a matter of fact, old chap, so do I. Well, he was joking, I suppose.
Hello?
Donald, it's Jack. I wanted a quick word about Alan's rushes.
Don't tell me they're damaged.
No, they're good. In fact, they're more than good. I'm telling you, Donald, there's some good stuff here. I mean, really bloody excellent. I'll make a rough assembly, but you have to come down to my lair and take a look.
From the General Overseas Service of the BBC... This is the British Broadcasting Corporation.
Chaps? Well, I've heard back from Lime Grove. And they're delighted with our efforts.
Excellent news, Alan.
Donald sends you his praises for your sterling work. He sent a few pointers, too. which I'll run through later, he even said, we mustn't exhaust ourselves, if you can believe that.
Listen to Donald's wise words.
Thing is, Freddy, going that extra mile is paying off, and it's showing in the rushes we've sent back. So let's get back to today.
Oh.
Freddy, I've got way behind on my commentaries. But you'll be pleased to hear, apart from recording my commentaries, it's all going to be sound for you today. City atmospheres, that sort of thing.
Ah, fabulous, Alan. Yes, I'm always telling Cyril how my sound is as important as his images.
Which isn't true, of course.
And Cyril, you'll be taken to the skies with the Hong Kong Auxiliary Air Force in one of their spotter planes.
Okay, you mentioned that before.
What I really want are aerial shots of the refugee camps. I can edit those in with my commentary. The audience will get a true idea of the scale of the refugee crisis.
Okay.
The Oster's ideal for filming. You're seated right by the pilot. You've got a great view out of the side window. Get him to back. You'll get some good shots.
Cyril can stay awake. You know how he is on planes.
Cyril, I really want to see the scale of the camps.
I understand, Alan.
And Cyril, if I know these flyboys, they always want to show off. It's in their blood. Definitely no acrobatics. We wouldn't want any accidents.
I've got it. Atmos is done. Lovely stuff. Oh, I love how every city is so distinct. No two are alike.
It's nice to see you so happy, friend. Let's go and record my commentaries. The nearest park to here is up this road.
Ah, maybe I'll get to record something a bit more relaxed. Maybe some birdsong even.
I'm clear for takeoff.
Okay.
Keep hold of your camera equipment. The ascent will be steep and fast.
Okay.
It'll be bumpy. I've got crosswinds. We'll get near the ground. Remember?
Birdsong? I don't think so. Bloody hell, the noise.
Richmond Park, it is not.
I can't even hear myself think.
Naivety, Freddy. Naivety. We always knew we'd be learning as we go. What do you think? Back to the apartment?
It's probably your best hope.
There they are, ahead of us. The refugee camps.
Great, let's circle around them.
Sure, circle around them.
If you can bank as we circle, I can get a nice shot. But please do it gently. Gently, smoothly.
I'm still picking up sounds from the street below.
This damn noise.
The wardrobe. Let's try the wardrobe. You climb in there, I'll drape some of your sheets and blankets over it. That should do it. You don't mind if I strip your bed, do you, Alan?
No one will have any idea. What we have to go through for a simple bit of commentary.
Happy? Got what you want?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay. We'll follow the river back to the airport.
And remember, no acrobatics.
You sure? I know a few tricks. Nothing dangerous.
Absolutely not. Get me and my film back in one piece.
But the majority of Hong Kong's newcomers don't arrive by air. They come streaming across from communist China at the rate of 1,000 a week. How's that, Freddy?
Nice. Really nice. No background noise, levels are good. I think you could afford to be even a little further back from the mic. It'll be less muffled. Can we try that? Right, give me a level.
But the majority of Hong Kong's newcomers don't arrive by air.
Spot on. Let's do it like that. I'm good to record.
You like Hong Kong?
Oh yes, very much. Yesterday we... What was that?
Not sure.
Was it the engine?
No. If I didn't think better... Bloody hell!
What is it?
Akak fire! The Chinese! They're firing at us! What the hell?
I did manage to take an hour or so off to look at one of the famous floating restaurants. Until I saw the floating restaurants in Hong Kong Harbour, I just didn't know there were so many different kinds of fish around. There's no doubt. Chopsticks are the thing. If you want to get the best out of your scrambled milk and crab meat. And your fried prawn in egg and sweet and sour sauce. But all the same, it tastes pretty good with a spoon, too. How's that, Freddy?
Perfect. We've got it.
Excellent. Now get me out of this stuffy wardrobe.
Nineteenth floor.
Ah, Cyril, there you are. Sorry that we locked the door on you. Had to do our sound recording. Oh. Is it hot out there? You look a bit, if you don't mind me saying, a bit on the sweaty side.
That pilot did some acrobatics, did he?
You could say that.
You're kidding. You're pulling our legs, aren't you? Flak?
Yes, Freddy, flak. Exploding all around us.
Right, sit down, Cyril, sit down. I'll get you a drink.
Now this I wasn't prepared for.
We dived so fast and so quickly, it was like being weightless. Things floating in the air, my head was bumping on the roof.
Here, drink this.
The important thing is I'm not having to write you an obituary, Cyril. Now if we're very lucky and we keep our heads below deck, this could all blow up.
Yes. Yes. After all, who knows where we are?
Could be about my laundry.
You're going to answer that, Alan.
Hello?
This is fantastic. The Death House. My goodness, that whole sequence. It's brilliant. I knew Alan could do it. If anyone could, he could.
I can't agree with you more. If there's more like this to come, it's going to be a hit. I'm the editor, and even I can't wait for the next installment.
I wonder what he has in store for us next, eh?
Well?
Well, let's just say Cyril and Hong Kong Biggle seem to have started an international incident.
Idiot of a pilot.
They're trying to quell the notion that Cyril was the vanguard of an imperialist invasion.
Freddy!
Sorry.
To say the local bigwigs are somewhat hot under the collar would be the understatement of the year.
Damn it. Look, I'm sorry about this, Alan.
They've demanded we surrender the film you shot, sir. We had to get the rushes over to government.
Yes, I'll do that.
You don't have to.
It makes sense. Look, I'm the one who can answer any questions. And I'll make it plain who was to blame. And it was that damn fool of a pilot.
Yes, sir. Certainly, sir. Mr. Moorhead, you may go in now.
Fool. Fool. You're all bloody fools as far as I'm concerned. What the hell did you think you were doing? Who do you think you are? The BBC, for goodness sake. You think you can do what you want, go where you want with impunity?
I was just saying...
No. There's rules. Rules and laws. You didn't have permission for flying over the camp.
The pilot?
You didn't have permission. Did you come to see me on your arrival? No, of course you didn't. Because you're the BBC. You stirred up a hornet's nest, all right. You caused an almighty stink, a terrible mess. Now, the film reels, where are they? Give them to me.
Here.
That's it. One reel.
That's all I took. That's 400 feet, one magazine.
You are being clever, and there's more of this, there'll be hell to pay. Hell to pay.
No, that's it.
Now get the hell out of here. Stay in your apartment, go nowhere. Wait till I speak to you before you do anything. No press. Stay put and speak to no one.
Did he really say don't talk to the press?
Yes. Why?
Oh dear. The horse has bolted on that one.
We got a phone call from the local...
And you spooked.
Of course. We live in a free society with a free press. It's a fundamental right of democracy. Blast these colonial types. That's it. When men in suits behind big desks say, stay, well then it's time to leave. Pack your stuff. We're leaving. And quick about it.
Okay.
And where will we go? Tokyo?
No, speed is of the essence. We're going to Macau.
Macau?
20-minute boat ride away. And Macau happens to be Portuguese, not British.
Move it! Move it! Jump on board!
Jump!
Oh! Made it! Oh, what a lovely embrace you have, Cyril. Thank you.
What an Olympian leap, Freddy. You're taking to the adventure.
Absolutely, Freddy. Welcome to Wicker's World.
Oh, my goodness. That was close.
Now, come on. Enough of this money. You know there's no time for...
We do, Alan.
It's time for action, chaps. Cyril, get some shots of the... Freddy, sound. Boats, waves hitting the bow. You know the score. Best foot forward. Let's make something of this.
Hello?
Donald, it's Cynthia. I thought I'd better call you. I was trying to contact Alan and the boys, but they're not where they should be.
What do you mean by that?
They've packed and left Hong Kong, and that's ahead of schedule. The thing is, I couldn't get a clear picture from the person I was talking to, but I gather they've gone and got themselves into hot water with the local authorities.
Probably some damned permit they didn't get, or filmed something they shouldn't have. You know these colonies can be sensitive with these army bases all over the place.
I have the feeling it may have been something more than that.
Thanks, Cynthia. See if you can find out anything more.
Will do.
Yes.
Oh my God, we've made the papers. Cyril is the main attraction. You're famous, Cyril. Here you are. You ready? Well, listen. A plane carrying a BBC cameraman was fired on by Chinese communists. And here you go, Cyril. A statement was taken from 29-year-old cameraman Cyril Moorhead of East Grinstead.
Oh, God, no.
Mr. Moorhead surrendered 400 feet of film to Mr. Jock Murray.
Surrendered. That's exactly how it felt.
Alan, you get a mention. Said Mr. Alan Wicker, leader of the three-man TV team... I was told by the RAF that it was to be impounded.
Be all over the wire. It's certain that Lime Grove will know. I've already booked a call to London.
Oh, no. It says Hong Kong Biggles faces a possible court-martial.
Serves him right. He brought it on himself and us.
All right, you two, let's keep our focus. We've got to carry on. You two, get out there and get some footage. Nice Baroque buildings, the life of the city. You know the drill.
Yes, Alan.
Now for that call to Lime Grove.
Good luck, Alan. What do you think will happen?
Not my department. Might call us home. Depends on the level of trouble we've caused.
Well, you caused.
I'm telling you, it was the pilot.
I know, Cyril. I know it was the pilot. It's a damn shame, though. I was getting used to Wicker's action-packed world. I hope Alan doesn't lose his job because of this.
I'm coming. Hello?
Oh, Mrs. Cyril Moorhead?
Yes. Is that Mr. Gregory?
Gregory?
From Penrose Garage?
No, madam. I'm Fred Atkinson from the Red Inn Mirror. Is that Mrs. Cyril Moorhead?
Yes. The Mirror?
And what can I call you for the record, Mrs. Moorhead?
Mrs. Moorhead? For the record. Now, what do you want?
What do you have to say about your husband?
My husband?
Your husband, Cyril. He's filming with The Tonight Show in Hong Kong, is he not?
Yes.
Joy, your husband has caused an international incident in Hong Kong. The Chinese army fired at your husband as he flew into Chinese territory. Has anyone been in touch with you?
No. I haven't heard anything.
Do you fear for your husband's safety?
I'm not worried. Cyril knows how to look after himself. Now, goodbye.
It's a serious diplomatic incident.
Thank you. What is that Alan Wicker getting Cyril into? They're just like big boys. Big, silly boys.
Donald, it's Alan.
Alan, what the bloody hell have you been playing at? Upsetting the locals.
I'm so sorry, Don.
Really, Alan?
Can you hear me?
Sorry. You better bloody be sorry.
Hello?
I can hear you all right. We all got a royal roasting here, Alan.
It was all a big misunderstanding.
You should have seen the DG. Red in the face he was. Beetroot.
So, is it the end of the road for us, Alan?
Far from it. In fact, it's full steam ahead. Donald is a blessing. We're terribly lucky to have him and Alistair back at Limegrove, taking the flak.
I thought taking the flak was Cyril's job.
Funny, Freddy. Funny.
Donald says he can't wait to hear you tell him the story over a pint back at Limegrove, Cyril. Now, gentlemen, we stick to the plan. And to the script. Let's try not to ruffle any feathers as we delve into the steamy underbelly of Macau. Sadly, upon investigation, Macau turned out to be as wicked as Leamington Spa, with a bit of gambling on the side. We came away from there with a few shots of casinos and nuns amid the crumbling Baroque architecture. So we stole back to Hong Kong. Happily, we made it through customs. No police descended upon us to arrest us as agents provocateurs, and we were allowed to board our waiting plane. Perhaps the Hong Kong establishment was glad we simply faded out of sight. Peking had been officially assured Cyril's little Oster flight was not the spearhead of a mighty invasion by the imperialist running dogs. World War III was avoided. It's never fun when you start an international incident.
But Grace, Wicker's specials are going down a treat. The critics love him, the audience love him.
If we're not careful, Wicker is going to become bigger than the programme. No one should be bigger than the programme.
Absolutely, Grace.
And must you call his funny little reports specials?
We don't employ these front-of-camera chaps permanently, so dispensing with him would be easy.
He's altogether too pleasant.
We'll head into the centre and I'll introduce the audience to where we are.
Alan, what would happen if, God forbid, you were to get ill? Well, what then?
Simply won't happen.
Well, just for argument's sake.
Okay, for argument's sake, I'd have you prop me up in a chair. Film me from behind, then film the reverse shots at a later date. When cut together, no one would have the slightest notion. And let's not forget, the back of my head is probably my best side.
Can we get a receipt, please?
Hello. This is the busiest street of the largest city in the world, the Ginza in Tokyo. From there, we investigated department stores and Japanese shopping habits, a rockabilly nightclub, and then it was a 300-mile trip to visit a farm. Perhaps one of the most remarkable farms in the world, an underwater vineyard with a harvest of jewels, a pearl farm, a farm with no milkmaids but women pearl divers. Some could stand water for as long as 3 minutes. After dipping my hand in a bucket of pearls, I wondered if this was the sort of farming I could take. Then it was back to Tokyo.
Sound rolling.
Camera, speed.
This is where the Japanese come to lose face. This is where they pay to lose that oriental look, get Western eyes and larger noses. It's called the Japan Center of Cosmetic Surgery. Every year, 30,000 Japanese pass through this human reassembly line and come out looking, they hope, less Japanese. Cut. Cyril?
Good for me.
Freddy?
Sound was good.
Excellent. I'll go inside and make myself known to them in there. Cyril, I need some establishing shots. You know the score. People entering the building, a look at the sign, and so on.
How long have I got?
20 minutes.
30?
15.
20.
Agreed. See you inside.
Okay, Freddy. I'll take a shot of the sign while I'm set up here. Bit of Atmos. I'll just move the camera here. Okay, that's about right.
Okay, Cyril, are you happy with what we're doing? By keeping it handheld, you can move into a closer shot during the operation.
Understood.
How's the light?
It'll be dark away from the glare of the surgical lights, but there's really nothing I can do about that under the situation.
We'll just have to live with it. It's quite a production line, isn't it? I'll have a quick word with the surgeon, see if they're ready.
Cyril, I didn't think we'd really be in the operating theatre. Did you?
Well, Well, you know Alan by now. Always pushing at the boundaries, Freddy. No, don't worry. I filmed major heart surgery before, and my God, that was brutal stuff. Sawing open the chest. And this is just a little snip here and there. Look, I promise you, it's not going to be as bad as you think.
Ready, chaps. He's going to start the first operation.
Careful what happens when you say cut. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, good grief. Hell's bells, that's just too gory.
So much blood.
Drink?
What's she saying? Oh, my God, the blood.
Drink?
She's offering you a drink.
What is it? Oh, God, I don't care if it's surgical spirit. Give it here. Just give it here, I say. Bottoms up. Oh. Oh, oh. Oh, thank God. Thank you, nurse.
Well?
Oh, yes. Some sort of brandy, I reckon.
Excuse me, may I have one of those, please? Thank you.
Oh, my God. My hands are shaking. Look, they're shaking.
Oh, needed that.
Another one for me. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. Cyril. Where's Cyril?
He's still in there.
How? How?
That man's got a strong stomach.
Cyril!
Here, Cyril. Have a drink. Now, did you get it all in the can?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, like some terrible production line. Just horrendous.
I've not seen that much blood before. Not even with amputations.
Just one after the other after the other. Just awful.
Poor old Jack. I don't envy him when he starts up his steam deck to watch those rushes. Better put an X rating on those cans, Cyril. Jack's going to be reaching for the outtakes bin when he watches those.
Freddy.
What? Oh, yeah. We've landed. Where are we again?
Manila. You're getting more adept at this grabbing sleep when you can business, Freddy. Good for you.
That's it, chaps. We're halfway through our grand tour. And you know what that means. It's all downhill from here on in.
How many rapids did you say there were, Alan?
14. 13 to go.
Oh, that's my lucky number. Oh, these wooden boats don't look up to it.
Well, we're going to find out, Freddy. Here we go. Here's another. Turn over, Sam. Cyril, turn over. How's that, Cyril? Some nice shots?
Oh, I think so. Hope so. Can't be sure. It's a blur. I'm going to need more shots to be sure of building a sequence.
Freddy, how about you? Could you hear the rapids over the noise of your screaming?
Oh, sorry about that, Alan.
Okay, back to the top we go.
Again?
Yes, Freddy.
All 14.
I'm sorry, Freddy. You're just going to have to grin and bear it.
Are you kidding? That was the most fantastic thing I've ever done. This place, it's incredible. That waterfall, did you see the height of it? And the way the river flows through those deep gorges. I mean it's simply stunning. Let's get back up there.
After that, it was on to meet the university cadets wearing bearskin hats made of chicken feathers. And dream deaths. Plantation workers were dying unexplained deaths in their sleep. Recording my Lincoln commentary, sending back the rushes, and on to the next flight. To Hawaii.
There, my something-for-nothing side was delighted by the free pineapple juice gushing on tap at the cannery, and the carefree hula girls I found to be in a union, and who kept their grass skirts in fridges overnight. Getting into Mexico, we had the usual trouble of getting through customs. All that was required was the nice, quick bribe. I know it spreads money around like taxes, but I stuck my heels in and got indignant. Finally, unbribed and resentful, they led us out to film in Mexico and Acapulco. I was sad to break up our happy band, but I watched as Cyril Moorhead and Freddie Downton staggered up the steps, exhausted, on their flight back to London. I doubted whether two television technicians have ever worked so hard or so well. As for me, I was going on to Texas for further filming with American crews in Brownsville, Houston, and New Orleans, at the end of which I can tell you I was happy to sit back in the airport lounge and sip a well-deserved drink. For the first time in 3 months, I didn't have to bury my head in a book for research or type up a new commentary.
Alan? Alan, it is you. I thought so. It could only be you.
Marguerite, well, I never.
How the devil are you?
I'm very well. Very well. Can't complain. And before anything else, now I know it's 8 years now. But congratulations on the Pulitzer.
Thank you so much.
Very well deserved.
I like to think so. Now, what brings you to New Orleans? Still a correspondent, but so dapper and clean cut.
I'm working for the BBC these days.
I've heard of them.
But where are my manners? You, how about you?
Married, happily. Pregnant, number two. This is not donuts and burgers. Working on my new book. Life's full. Look at me. All change and all wonderful.
I'm glad.
You never know what the future brings. I've got to run. I say run. Waddle, more like.
I never forgot your secret for success.
My secret for success?
Get up earlier than everyone else, run faster and further. Take more risks, work later.
I said that.
You said that.
I like it. But now I really do have to run. Bye, Alan. Bye.
Bye.
He's back! Bloody marvellous! First question. Has he got the latest rushes with him? Safe and sound?
Yes, Donald.
Excellent. Now, I'm guessing they're at the labs already.
Yes, Donald.
Great. Now, how is he?
Oh, you know, Alan, unstoppable.
Is he at home? I can call him there.
This is Alan you're talking about. At home? Not likely. Straight off the transatlantic flight and into the cutting rooms with Jack.
I was thinking, if we extended this shot, I could do my linking commentary.
Yes, nice. And then move into New Orleans.
Alan, Alan, Alan! You did it, old man!
Alive and well. Mostly unscathed.
Well done, well done. It's fantastic what you've accomplished. Absolutely extraordinary.
Apart from making us throw up with your Japanese surgery piece.
And attempting to start World War III with your attack on China.
Yes, sorry about that.
Fine work, Alan. Very fine.
So, I'm not being dispensed with just yet.
Grace, I've been talking to Donald and Alistair. We've been discussing the Wicker situation.
Ah, too big for his boots, is he? Time to walk the plank, is it?
Yes. And no.
So, what is to be done with him?
Well, to cut to the chase, Wicker will be leaving the Tonight programme. However, we're giving him his own programme instead.
The thin end of the wedge, Leonard. Thin end of the wedge. The cult of personality.
It's also a matter of economics, making the books balance. He's popular, Grace. Very popular.
Are we in that game, Leonard? Popularity? It was always the programme and not the presenter.
It's a new world, Grace.
Oh, television is taking on a life of its own, and it will go beyond our imagination. I only hope it can keep some decency, some intelligence, and will not descend into teenage delinquency and puerile fascination.
The genie is out of the bottle.
And who made the bottle, Leonard? Hmm? we did.
So it's definitely happening?
Yes, 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 absolutely. There's more than enough footage to re-edit and to make a new program. We just need a name for it.
Ahead of you on that, Alman. I met Cyril last night in the bar, and he reminded me of a wry comment he made when we were escaping Hong Kong. Unwittingly, Cyril came up with the perfect title. It's neat, it's pithy, and to the point.
Well, what the bloody hell is it then?
Wicker's World.
You have been listening to The Other Side of the World by Jonathan Williamson. Alan Wicker was played by John Culshaw. Cyril Moorhead by Tom Dussek, and Freddie Downton was played by Matt Beaumont. Marguerite was played by Antonia Kinley. Cynthia Key by Amelia Armand, and Donald Pavistock was played by Andy Cresswell. Joy Moorhead was played by Penny Scott Andrews. Grace Wyndham Goldie by Saoirse Brooks, and Leonard Mile was played by Charlie Buckland. Anthony Jay by Brett Fancy and Ned Sheeran was played by Doug Devaney. Thomas Grant played Jack Gold. Hong Kong Biggles was played by Justin K. Hayward and Jock Murray by J.D. Henshaw. Fred Atkinson was played by Russell Shaw and Cliff Mitchellmore by Peter Walsh, and May Konski was the interpreter. Jeremy Albrecht played the American G.I. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The sound recordist was Steve Pritchard. The executive producers were Jane Ray, Beverly Hurl and Emily Rosen Rawlings. The director was Saoirse Brooks and the producer was Simon Moorhead. This recordings is copyright to TBC Audio Limited 2021.